out of the middle of their week to assemble together. Thank you for good news from heaven tonight. And we bless you and worship you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Well, I appreciate you being here tonight. I brought a stool. I'm just going to be comfortable and sit and talk with you from my heart. Every decade or so, it would probably be good for a pastor just to have a heart-to-heart talk with his congregation. And that's what tonight really is all about. And no bombshells, nothing bad at all. In fact, everything is good. I do want, first of all, to take a few minutes to drive one point home. And that is how special you are as a church congregation. More special than you know. And probably more special than many churches. I want to give evidence to you. I want to prove that to you. I just think it's time for us to be reminded of the favor of God on us as a body. We are the body of Christ, and from day one, He's been good to us. And if I do nothing else tonight, I want to commend you for being a most special group of people, and I really mean that. You'll see on the screen some pictures as we go along. The picture of our church, what a beautiful church building we have here. It's a blessing from God, and you know the miracles. God can use Walmart, if He needs to bless the kingdom of God. What a blessing it is to have such a nice church to call home. But the vision of our church does not stop with these 12 acres or with these four walls. And because you are a special group of people, more than you know, God has been able to use this home base, this headquarters church, to make such a difference around the world. And I want you to know, because you're the faithful, that if you're a faithful member of Abundant Life Church, you are also a fruitful member in the kingdom of God. There's no way to be faithful here without it immediately transferring into fruitfulness that remains. Let me prove that to you for just a few minutes. First of all, there's the scripture in Proverbs 29:18. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But the best translation I like is the Frank Harvey translation that says, where there is no ongoing, progressive revelation of the will of God, people wander aimlessly without direction until they die. That's how important vision is. And the two most important words to us as a church for many, many years now, the word generation and nations. Everything we do falls under one of those two categories. As I just share my heart with you for a few minutes, I want to tell you about 28 years ago almost, when Brenda and I moved from California to Florence to start this church. We knew God had called us to this city to plant a church. We knew it when we lived in California. We knew the name of the church before we left there. And we came here, and you have no idea what it was like in the early days before our first service. I got a job, went to work. We rented a house and moved in and did everything we had to do leading up to our first service. And I remember as word got out that we had moved back to Florence to start a church. I had critics and skeptics, and that's only normal, you know. I'm tough, everybody does. But I remember it hit me like a ton of bricks. This is before our first service in September of 1986. I was driving my car, stopped at a red light, ironically, on this same street Irby Street. Little did I know we would be here 28 years later in this beautiful building, but down here at South Park, the light was red and I was stopped, and three words overwhelmed me. Burden of proof. I just felt so heavy with the burden of proof. I knew God had spoken to me, and I knew He had called me here. But as word was getting out, I struggled with that. And the burden of proof, and I felt a little bit like Moses must have felt when the Lord sent him. And He said, "Who shall I say sent me?" And I know what that's like. But I didn't stay there long because the favor of God has overwhelmed us as a church all of these many years. Our first location was a miracle. We approached the owners of this church building. It had been the Church of the Nazarene, and they had a year previously built a new church in a new location, and this building was for sale. It had been on the market over a year for sale. I drove by that building and thought, Lord, it'd be great if we could start our church in that building. But there was that for sale sign. The bottom line is I called the pastor, Warren Holloway. Never met him, didn't know him. Called him and told him that I had moved to Florence to plant a church and I had seen that building for sale. And I said, we can't buy it. We don't even have a congregation. Haven't even had our first service yet. But I'm calling to see if you'd be interested in renting it to us. Month by month, with the understanding if it sells, we're out in 30 days. And Pastor Warren Holloway said, it's interesting you call me right now. Our board decided over a year ago when we moved out of that building, we would not rent it to a tenant. We would keep it empty until it sold. That's been our position, and we've turned 30 people down since we've moved out who wanted to rent it. But it's interesting you call me now, he said. I just got a call from our insurance agent. And he told me they were going to drop all the coverage on that property unless we get a tenant in there quickly. It was just the favor of God. We started our church there and stayed there for 6 months until it sold. And then we went to our second location, which is no longer even there. It's on the corner of Coit and Chevis, a former two-story bank building. And I met the owner of this building. His name was Jimmy Rainwater. Many of you remember him. Had never heard him, never met him. Met him in his office. He drove me and Brenda to that building. We looked at it for 10 minutes. And I said, I believe it could be a blessing to us. How much rent do you want? And I'll never forget, he took a key off of that huge ring of many keys. He was a realtor and lots of keys, and he handed me the key like this. Had just met me 10 minutes earlier and said, not a dime. It's free as long as you need it for the glory of God. We were there 2.5 years. It was just a miracle. We outgrew that building. And our third location, we were able to buy. By this time, we were only 3 years old, much smaller than we are now as a congregation. And it was unheard of for an interdenominational church with no headquarters, no financial backing from the home office, but a small group of people with a new church to buy property. But God worked it out. I'm sparing you a lot of details. Everyone's wonderful, but for time's sake, we were able to buy our own property and build two buildings to go with the main auditorium. We stayed there for 12 years or so, maybe 14 years, until we moved to where we are now. And this is our permanent home. Thank God we're not packing up and moving anymore. And then all of this because of your faithfulness. Just want you to know what a special group of people you are, and it gets better. After we were 7 years old as a church, I felt the Lord calling me and my family to Latvia, the former Soviet Union, to live for a year and to plant a church there. And so the wonderful people that you are, what kind of church does that? Tell me another church ever in the world that has let their senior pastor go to the other side of the world for a year and celebrate it, not get upset, and not, but support that vision. And it's because of your faithfulness and your fruitfulness that we went in the year of 93 and planted a church. And when our church was 4 weeks old, this is what the congregation looked like. Abundant Life Church, Liepāja, Latvia. We had 300 people on our first service, and over 100 accepted Christ on our first service. We were 4 weeks old here, and all of the kids were in another building across the street. This is adults only, hundreds. And there's our bishop, Houston Miles. He was our speaker. He flew over to speak for me and to have a three-day citywide crusade in that former communist nation. That was our church at 30 days old. Then, next picture's me and the pastor. I met him on my first trip to Russia and Latvia. And when we lived there for a year, he came into our church, and we knew immediately he would be the one that would succeed me. When we left at the end of our year to come back, this would be the permanent pastor. Last year, he celebrated his 20th year as pastor of that church. He's a faithful man. The next picture is the church you helped them buy. That's a three-story building on a very main street in Liepāja. The trolley runs right by it. That's how people get around over there. And this is what it looked like when they bought it. And then this is what it looked like when we finished remodeling it. That's what it looks like today. I just got back last summer from going over again. One of the great honors in my life is to go back to that city and preach in that church. Can you imagine? And I'm grateful for Vilnius. He's a faithful man. But you are a faithful church and a fruitful church to embrace a vision bigger than we are. And that is 20 years old now. This is the pastor and his wife and their family. This was at their 25th wedding anniversary, and they dressed up for it. The Latvians do know how to celebrate now. They'll celebrate every occasion, and the church hosted an honor for them on their 25th anniversary, and that's a picture there from that. So we have this church here in Florence. And then we have another great church that we planted in Liepāja, Latvia, 20 years ago. And it doesn't stop there. 14 years ago, we sent out our own homegrown missionaries, Brian and Millie Hudson, to Managua, Nicaragua. There's a recent picture of them. They're a little different than any other missionaries I've ever known in that they are on the payroll of this church. Just like I get a paycheck, Pastor Steve gets a paycheck, Brian Hudson gets a paycheck from this church, even though he lives in another nation and has for 14 years and counting. Thank you for being faithful and fruitful. He's changing that nation. By the way, this very week in Nicaragua, Brian is hosting three pastors' conferences in three different cities across the nation with Philip Miles and Greg Kennedy. William Rhodes is down establishing international schools of ministry. Six Bible colleges are starting in six different churches in Nicaragua this week during those conferences. And I want you to know also, you should know, I'm talking heart to heart tonight, a grateful pastor to a faithful church family and a fruitful church family. You built Brian and Millie a home. They have a nice two-story home there in Managua, and they don't pay a mortgage payment. We raised the money many years ago, and they paid cash and built it. So our missionaries, in addition to being on salary here, have a beautiful home they own and no payments. Now, I still pay them for my house. Pastor Steve, you still paying for your house? Yeah, still paying. But our missionaries have a home debt free. Thank you for being faithful. Here's the church billboard. Abundant Life Managua. It's just like us. It's a part of your faithfulness. Viva Abundante Managua. I also many times have gone down myself with our bishop and preached pastors' conferences that Brian has organized for that nation. 300, 400, and 500 pastors coming together from all over the nation. Here's a picture of Brian translating for me. I always love it. He's the best translator in the world. And that way, if I get my doctrine wrong, he'll correct me. You know, as you go. But there I am preaching to 400 or 500 pastors and Brian translating for me. Listen, you and your faithfulness has helped change four nations powerfully by hosting and paying for national pastors' conferences many times in Nicaragua, also in Russia, also in Latvia, and also in Vietnam. And in every occasion, in all of those nations, our bishop has gone with me, along with others, to be the keynote speaker. He's the sweetest man, 85, and still got a lot to offer. This picture is a picture of our Vietnam pastors' conference. There were 300 pastors in the underground church. Several of these men had been arrested repeatedly for preaching the gospel. It's propaganda and illegal. And serve 2 years in prison every time they're caught. One man at this conference had been to prison 6 years. And when he got out the third time after 6 years, he went straight back to preaching the gospel. We've got it good. But you have no idea. Travis Matthews was with me. Travis, the stories we could tell. I called our bishop 2 weeks before we were to leave. And I said, it was right after 9/11 and nobody wanted to fly. And I said, Bishop, I just wanted to check. Is the conference in Vietnam still on? Or are we going to cancel it? And he said, Carl, you know what? We're going to have a great time. And I said, well, I heard this is an illegal conference, is it? He said, yeah, it is, but I've been over there before. It'll be all right. So we flew into Saigon, which is now Ho Chi Minh City, and stayed in that capital city for a night maybe before we got on a bus and our ministry team went to several hours away, 2 or 3 hours maybe, to the coast of the South China Sea. It was a little more secluded, and that's where the host for the underground church had organized. There was a Christian who owned a 5-story hotel, I believe. The conference room was on the 5th floor. and there were guards in the lobby, and they had a system. If the police entered the lobby, somebody's cell phone would ring on the fifth floor, and we would scatter. Well, on day one, I think, that happened, and we scattered. We got in stairwells, we got to our room, and all they said to me is, "We will come get you when it's good." And so I waited for an hour, and it was good. They came and got me. But on the afternoon of the second day, the police raided the conference and took our passports, our American passports, and grilled us for 20, 30 minutes, and finally gave our passports back and demanded that we leave town immediately, which we did. And, Travis, you were there. But seeing these pastors so hungry for training and equipping, and for Americans to care enough to go over and pay for them to stay 3 days, three meals each day. Thank you for being faithful and fruitful. We've changed four nations by training pastors, and we paid for it. Thank you. The next picture is a picture of our bishop. Oh, no. That's not our bishop. This is one of our India pastors. You should know this. On the payroll of this church, six India pastors, we send their support every month. Doesn't take much for them to be full-time in the ministry there, because $1 here is like $35 there. So we are able to maximize our seed sown there. But all six of the pastors we support, this is one pastor and his wife and child in front of his church and congregation. We bought all six of our pastors a bicycle a few years back. They just needed a way to get around over there. But six India pastors depend on us for their livelihood and their families. We've been doing it for years. All six are graduated from Bible college, and they're persecuted. And when people are born again there and are baptized in water, many times their families disown them and disinherit them. So it's a hard place. But you are changing that part of the world through these six pastors. Now our bishop, Houston Miles, my spiritual father since I was 18 years old. You know him and you love him. He's been here many times. He is the founder of Evangel Fellowship International, which is not a denomination, but it is a network of churches like ours and pastors like me and Steve who need ordination, need accountability, need to hear the will of God, need to be connected with others with a similar call and vision. This man here started EFI, and today they have hundreds of churches that partner with them, like ours, in the United States. They have 600 churches that this man, with the help of other people like me and many more, 600 new churches in Russia since communism ended. All of those churches, all 600 in Russia, are 20 years old or younger. A great vision this man has. We support EFI, World Missions. They have missionaries in 32 nations of the world. And so every month from our offerings here, we send a portion to their World Missions organization. It's such a blessing to do that. The next picture is Dr. Ron Cottle, when he came here in March of 2004 and conferred on me a doctorate of divinity degree. Dr. Cottle is like my spiritual uncle. I'll see him in 2 weeks, spend a couple days with him, and he's turning 80, not slowing down a bit. But the reason this man is important to our vision is because of Christian Life School of Theology. Back in 1996, Our church, through this man, became an extension campus for Christian Life School of Theology. It was cutting edge at that time. The concept was, if you've got people in your church or in your city that want Bible training to earn a degree in theology, they don't have to quit their job, uproot their family, move to Tulsa or Lynchburg or wherever for a degree in theology to prepare for ministry. We will bring the professors to your city and to your church. So our church became a campus. And overnight there was a shift. I want to talk to you tonight about two shifts. This is the first one. Immediately, when our church became a campus for CLST, we had 60-plus pastors from an hour's drive around here. They drove in from King Street, Greeleyville, Sumter, Darlington, Bishopville, all over. I had no idea. And they came here, and our church shifted from being pastoral only to apostolic. Overnight, because of this tool, CLST, pastors by the dozens came to us for training and looked to us and still to this day stay in touch with us. Call us for wisdom and counsel and advice, or call us to give us their ideas. I mean, fellowship and relationship is a wonderful thing. So that was a shift when we became a sending church, equipping and preparing and sending. I was becoming a spiritual father then, and I was too young. Still am. But now I'm blessed to have spiritual sons that have been here, and many have gone out into ministry. We support CLST every month because of this reason. Part of your offerings. I just want you to know it's my heart tonight, gratefully, to a faithful and fruitful church. You're the most special church I know. I don't know of another church that's done all this. But they have 30,000 Bible college students all over the world that are taking online studies. 2,000 in Pakistan alone, where it's illegal and they could be killed, but it's on the internet. And they're taking the same courses in their language we offered here. For 12 years, we were a campus here. And so we are a part of raising up tomorrow's church leaders in many nations. And we give financially every month, because that's such a big part of our vision. Now listen, we've established this church and it's debt free. Thank you for your faithfulness and your fruitfulness. They are the same thing, if you remember here. We established the Latvia church directly. I went for a year and did it myself. We established the Managua church plant directly through Brian Hudson, our homegrown missionary that we sent, he and Millie. In addition to that, when we were blessed as a church by Walmart, when we owned a piece of property planning to build years in the future, and Walmart wanted it and paid us four times what we had just financed. Hadn't paid for it. Didn't have the money to pay for it. We had just financed it. And they wanted it that badly. And God blessed this church financially. That's why we are here where we are now, and why we were able to get here immediately, as soon as we could build, instead of waiting 5 years to start building, paying on just dirt. Walmart was a blessing. But when that happened, we tithed as a church on that blessing. By the way, we always do. We always do. We give anywhere from 18 to 24% of what comes into these offerings to other ministries, and almost in every case, it's world missions. We do a lot of local missions, too. I'll be specific in just a minute to that. But we tithed on the miracle from Walmart, and with the tithe, we built 9 church buildings in other nations and discovered an orphanage in Nicaragua that was halfway constructed, and they run out of money and stopped the building. And we were able to give $40,000 to finish building that orphanage, which is still raising orphans today, a Christian orphanage in that nation. It's incredible. I just want tonight to commend you for being faithful and to remind you of how fruitful your faithfulness is in the kingdom of God. Now, in addition to that, there have been other churches we've helped plant. Mitch Horton was my associate pastor for a year. Oh, no, for 3 years. He was here while I was gone for a year. God blessed this church while I was gone for a year. We grew in every way. Mitch Horton's a faithful man, and he's now pastoring a church plant in Raleigh, Victory Church. They run 700-800 people every weekend, and we're directly connected to him for life. Thank God for him. B.J. Wiley pastors in Barbersville, West Virginia, Oasis Christian Center. He's been there 12 years. He planted that church himself. We sent him out to do that. He had been our youth pastor down here on House Springs Road for 2 years. He met his wife, Julie, and I married them in that church. And when God opened the door for him to go, we helped him go and plant that great church. I've been up and preached for him before. He's a faithful man. That's his life's work. Virginia McDaniels was in this church for 6 or 7 years. Faithful as they come. And the door opened for her to go to Darlington and start Hope Christian Center. And she's cleaned up so much in that city. Her church moved in right next door to a crack house. She got all those crack addicts, those crack dealers saved. I'm grateful for that. Albert Grice was in our church, of course, for a long time. And he now, with our help, by the way, I should say this, only because now we do have a committee who handles our finances and knows everything. We do right by the money. Furman Calcutt is the chairman of that committee and works more closely with us and knows more frequently what all's going on. But we were able to say, Albert Grice left here. We sent him out to start that church in Marion. I went over to preach the dedication service. I've preached there 2 or 3 times. Pastor Steve's going to preach once or twice for Albert. And just a sweet brother. He's one of my sons in the Lord. And about 3 months ago, we were able to send him a check for 1 month's mortgage payment on his building. It was $2,300, I believe. But now wait, what a joy to bless somebody else that is obeying God. And I thought back many times, I wish when our church was small and struggling, somebody would have done that for us. They didn't. Thank you again for your faithfulness. But we did that for Albert, just to bless his congregation by relieving them of 1 month's mortgage payment. Marquell Jackson, he calls himself my black son. And I'm proud to be. He and Asia were here for years, served in many areas, and now is pastoring another church right here in Florence. That, usually, you know, there's a problem with that. But God can do it right. And I had the great honor of, at his invitation, he could have chosen anybody but he asked me if I would go and preach for him on a Sunday morning and have a service to install him as senior pastor before his congregation. And Brenda and I enjoyed that, got good pictures of that. I took him a plaque and presented it to him in front of his people to commemorate that special day in the life of that great church, Mount Sinai Holiness Church here in Florence. Rob Tripp, you may not know this. You know Rob. 7 years ago, he felt the Lord leading him to start a church in Nashville, Tennessee. And we sent him $5,000 for his first offering. And they've had so many people saved and now have their own orphanage in Haiti. So it's exponential, the impact that begins in one place and ripples so far from that spot. And they're doing great after 7 years and going strong. Just bought their own building permanently. Then there was Tim Blevins, who I've known for many years. He preached here once many years ago. He's a busy man now because he planted Life Church of Wilmington in North Carolina. Brennan and I have been to that church. They run hundreds of people. And when he started that church, we gave him a monthly offering for 12 months to help him get started. So we have an investment there and in many places. And so I'm humbled and honored at my young age to realize I'm a spiritual father and I have spiritual sons. And I'm grateful for that. And I don't want to overlook my number one spiritual son, Steve Osborne. It's my number one spiritual son. You should know he's been on staff 14 years, I think, full time. He pastors this church. I'm grateful for a wonderful staff. They allow me the flexibility to hear from God. Sometimes I hear from God through them. But Steve came to me 14 years ago and said, I believe I'm called to be your next associate pastor. We talked for an hour or two. And he said, I won't be like the others. My calling is different. Others come and go. I'll stay. You said that. And he has. And of all my spiritual sons doing great things wherever they are, none are greater than this man. And I'm grateful. And Lori. Lori, where are you? Oh, and Lori, God bless you. Absolutely. He wouldn't be half what he is if it wasn't for you, Lori. And I've always, from day one when we started our church, I've been able to look out and see ministers in the congregation. That was intimidating because I'd see people who'd pastored for 20 years or sitting out in the congregation. And so it's always been apostolic. Our church is the perfect church for people with strong ministry giftings. And we still to this day, we have Lawrence Tuning. He's gone more than he's here, but he's still a faithful member. Because we are so glad for him to go and minister in other churches. And Miles Taves, of course. And Chris Potter has pastored before. And the Lord has him now in our church for a season. Don't know what may be next for him. John Ganey pastored 3 churches. He and his wife are here with us getting refreshed and refired for whatever God may have for them. It's never been a threat. It's always been a joy. Pat Shepherd Quillen, one of the great women of God with ordination for ministry. And others, even Dutch Poet back there. He's still raw. Where are you, Dutch? But his future is ministry. He's taking it to the streets, his style right there. So we have a great vision that embraces so much, and I appreciate it. Locally, and I'll be quick because my time's about up, but locally we support monthly great ministries here in town. like a choice to make. They offer an alternative to young women who are pregnant and want to keep the baby and adopt the baby out. We support them every month with part of the offerings you give. Another is the Red Cross. We give to them. They're doing a great work. I went over and met the president of the Red Cross. She's a Christian. She said, "I'm in the ministry, Carl." She said, "People call it the Red Cross, but God has me here. I minister to the most hurting people ever." And I said, "We want to help you." So all the single dollar bills that come in, we send them hundreds of dollars every month. It's the Red Cross. But we designate it. We want our offerings every month to go to help the people who've lost everything in a total loss house fire this past week. And so the Red Cross takes our money, and we could do it, but why? Why not partner with them who do it great already? I just love the feeling of that. Partnership and relationships, so wonderful. But every single dollar bill you give in the alms offering baskets in the foyer on the way out gets to the Red Cross. It's hundreds of dollars every month. And then OM Ships is another ministry. World Missions. Look at that ship. It is huge. It's like the Queen Mary or whatever. But it's a gospel ship, and it carries humanitarian supplies and gospel literature all over the world. I think they're in Thailand right now. That ship is there. Miles and Patty Taves, who are members of this church, work for that ministry. They've been missionaries for over 20 years and are here with us. And so we support that great ministry every month with part of your offerings. And then something else that I've got to say. I have said many times to you that God, if He had no other reason for raising up this church other than for this church to get Brian and Millie Hudson to the nation of Nicaragua and let them change that nation, that would be reason enough for us to be established. And that's true. But I've got to add something else. Something happens every day on this property. From 8 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon, every school day in our youth center, that picture was taken. Over 100 students every day, they come in groups of 30 to 35. Every time the bell rings at the school across the public school across the street, 30 or 35 students will leave our youth center and walk back across to the school for their next class, and 30 or 35 more students will walk to our youth center for Bible teaching. We've done it for years. We partner with the Baptists to do that. How many Baptists do we have? Own it. We love the Baptists. And look, I want you to know, because of your faithfulness, because you are the most special church I know of in the world, we have never charged them a dime, ever. They said, the Baptist came to us and said, "We have a program and a vision. We want to get the school students out on study hall. They got to get parents' permission. We want to teach them the Bible. And since your church is right next door and you've got a youth center, would you rent it to us to teach these students the Bible?" Pastor Steve and I were in that meeting. We said, "No, we will give it to you." They were willing to pay. But we've never charged them a dime. God bless the Baptist. Yeah. They're getting saved too. Sitting around tables like that in our youth center, public schools do. I'm saying this. If for no other reason God would have established this church, would be to reach those public school students. Many have been saved in our youth center on school days. Thank you for making it possible. Now I want to talk about another shift, and I'm wrapping it up quickly. My heart to heart. It may be 10 more years before I do this again. We had an apostolic shift several years ago. No longer were we just a pastoral church. Many churches, that's their vision and that's their calling and that's their gifting, and that's great. They do a good thing. But many churches build a building, pay for it over many years, and when it's paid off, they have a mortgage burning, and they stay inside that building, and they never contribute much beyond that. We are not that way because of the apostolic shift. It called us higher. And another shift that's taking place right now, this is in my heart for you. Two words have always been our vision: generations and nations. Your faithfulness all these years has made it possible for us to excel in reaching nations. But there is a generational shift now. There is a generational shift. And I feel the Lord urging us as a church not to give up on our children and our grandchildren. So a lot of what is going on in the church in the last year or two has been a generational shift. And the poster boy, if we had one, would be Vic Rockhill. Well, he's our new worship pastor, and he's God's man for this house. And I love this man. He has the heart of a worshiper. And we prayed for a 30-year-old man who was tall and could play guitar and lead worship. And that's exactly what we got. But now, of course, there were changes. There's always a little tension in congregations around the tug of war between traditional and contemporary. Now, we're not very traditional. Look at us. But we're not the most extreme radical contemporary either. We're in a balance somewhere. But when Vic became our worship pastor, worship changed a little bit. He's a different generation. He's a new generation. There is a generational shift. And I love, by the way, Vic and the team you have. I love you. Every Sunday, I enter worship. You don't beat it out of me, drag it out of me. You just leave me there. And now, it was different for me, as I'm sure it was in previous. And we've always had great worship, always in this church. Thank God for great worship always over these 28 years. But it's different with Vic. He's younger. We don't sing the same songs as often. And I've learned it don't really matter if I know this one or not. I just enter right in. But there is a generational shift going on. Now listen, I've seen it and you've seen it. Churches like ours, wonderful, powerful, explosive, got a great vision, a lot of momentum. But unless there is a generational shift and a bridge is intentionally built to reach our children and grandchildren, then we will get old together sitting in here, and one by one we will leave and go to heaven, and we will shrivel and dry up to just a handful of old people that is not connected to the world anymore. And that's not God's will for us. So we are intentionally ramping up our vision to reach the next generation. This is our poster boy right there. You're doing a great job too, Vic. I appreciate that. And on that note, when it comes to worship, I want to quote David Ravenhill. He says, "Success is not determined by how many people you minister to, but by whether or not we corporately minister to Him." And Vic and that great team, our praise and worship team, leads us in ministering to the Lord when we get together. And I'm grateful. Now, I'm really going to be quick. I thought I'd be done by now, but I'm not. Just quickly, I want to address the round tables. This is business. This is family tonight. The round tables, we are tweaking and adjusting. Here's what I've heard. I've heard many say, love the round tables. Just love it. I've heard some say, I prefer the regular theater-style seating. And so here is my heart on that. On this issue, not any other issue ever in the world probably, but on this issue, we can make everybody happy. So we're going to take out a few more tables and add sections of chairs, and especially for visitors. I can imagine a visitor walking in for the first time to see tables going to say, whoa. Well, one did one time. I had to grab her hand and say, no, come on in here. So please right now be honest. There's no wrong answer. Just be honest so that we'll know. Before Sunday, we're going to have some seating sections. But how many prefer tables? That's your preference. Raise your hand. Those at the tables. Huh? All right, hands down. How many prefer seating? Raise your hand. Be honest. We respect that. Good. All right. It's about two-thirds, one-third, something like that maybe. Okay, I believe so. All right. When you walk in Sunday, we will have an adjustment. We'll have seating sections, and we'll get it right, please. For the sake of the big picture, people, for the sake of what God is using this church to do all over the world, the chairs were never, or the tables were never meant to be an offense to anybody, and I don't think it has been, or a division of any kind. I was thinking two things. Well, I had gone to a conference and it was great, just really great. Of course, now we sat around those tables for 3 days, morning, noon, and night. So that's intense. You just get an hour or so. But 3 days sitting around a table with eight people, you fall in love with them if the Spirit of God's anywhere around. But I was thinking two things. First of all, the greatest word in the Greek language, koinonia. It's fellowship, but it's a level of fellowship reserved only for believers in the body of Christ. Only believers can enjoy koinonia. So there's nothing wrong, it's absolutely biblical, to enjoy fellowship. The second thing I was thinking is it could help reach younger people. I think I'm young and I like it. So I just think everybody thinks like me because I'm that young. Let me mention giving. This is business, and I'm trying to wrap it up. Three ways to give, and you know that. Many people, and more people than ever, are giving online. In fact, some people contribute online through our website regularly, never write a check, never give in the offering bag. Some do it on their device while we receive the offering. I guess I'm all right with that. I don't know how to think about that, but... just stay off of Facebook. It's all right during church. But second way, of course, is in the offering as the usher's service. In every service, you can write a check. Third way is giving cash. And if you do give cash, well, it's a blessing either way, of course. But if you do give cash, the only problem we've ever had is not being able to read people's names. So if you give cash and want income tax credit for it, which we encourage you to take advantage of, clearly make sure that your names can be read. Here's what happens. When the ushers are called forward, we pray over your offering to bless you for giving. Then after the ushers receive it, they get back, and there's never less. We have maybe a dozen ushers serving us in the sanctuary, and then they dwindle to three, never less than three, sometimes four, for security and accountability. And they organize the offering and fill out a report and lock it together in the safe where it stays until the next morning. And two people open it and verify from the usher's report and prepare the bank deposit. So, and the ushers pray over it again after you give it. And I love that about them. And I wanted to mention that to you. Now I want to talk to you about my teaching and my preaching as we wrap it up. I am just what I am. I'm enjoying preaching now, or teaching. I'm not a preacher. so much, but more than ever, I can't wait for the next service now. I'm in a personal revival of the Word. Love it. I can't wait for Sunday to get here. I mean, but I don't preach hard line against sinners. It's just not my gift. Some churches, I don't think we have any here maybe still. But some people have challenged me on that, and it would get back to me that we don't preach against sin. And sinners coming into church. So I'm just telling you in my heart to heart, I don't preach down to sinners. We are a church. My God, we should welcome sinners. Please. I'm not going to get in the pulpit and run sinners off. It's ineffective to preach that way in this day and age. And it's foolish. The very people we need to reach the most. That's all I'll say about that. Here's my challenge. Every service is to prepare a word with milk for babes and strong meat for the spiritually mature, so that in every single service, as the word goes forth, regardless of whatever level of spiritual development you are, everybody can hear something. That's all I ask God for. I'm certainly not going to preach sinners away. That's just my gift, maybe. My greatest disappointments over 28 years. Can I talk heart to heart? When members who've been here for a while and been faithful and been a part of our family drop out of sight and don't communicate with us, don't call us or send me an email or anything to say, you know, I feel like the Lord's leading me to another church or whatever like that. They just disappear. And disappointing for a pastor to hear through the grapevine or on Facebook that people have left our church and after being faithful and being a blessing. We're not about burning bridges. Many over the years have left, and we never burn bridges. Anybody who's ever called me or come to see me or communicated in any way with me, feel like the Lord is leading us to another church, especially if their spirit is right, and usually it is, I always say, well, you can hear clearly from God, and you have been a blessing here, and you will be a blessing at this new church the Lord's leading you. Let me pray over you. And I bless them in prayer. And then I say, when you get there and connect with that pastor, let me know. I want to send that pastor a letter telling him what a blessing you have been to this church and encourage him to embrace you and allow you to be a blessing there. I've done that many times. That's the right way to do it. But it is disappointing when it happens another way. Some people have left the church over the years and gotten outside the church and said things about the church and especially about me. Now, I understand I'm an easy target. I know it. But some said, I remember one time, that, well, I couldn't stay there. Carl has stopped the move of the Holy Ghost. To that, I say, I'm not that powerful. Just sharing my heart. I will say this about the structure of our services. Our services are structured. And I remember as a boy growing up, I went to this great church, no structure. Their mindset was, well, let's just come to church and let go and let God be God and see what God wants to do. Well, that wouldn't work today. There's no way we could offer a worship service with any spirit of excellence at all, with the media, with the video, with the sound, with teamwork, many people on a with different instruments and chords and sheets and children and babies and everything. I mean, the old mindset was, let's just let God do what God wants to do. But to be excellent, and I think, you know, since the name of our God is excellent, everything we do in His name should be excellent. And the way we do that is we get the mind of the Lord before church begins. That's it. Lord, what do you want? Lord, what do you want to say? What do you want to do? Now, we always allow the Holy Spirit to have breathing room here. But we do have structure, and there's a reason for that. It just makes it more excellent so we can reach more people. I want to talk about the word revival. That word means different things to different people. We all filter that word through our experience and our background. Revival to me means 2 weeks every night till midnight. That's revival in the church I grew up in. Well, it's not that way anymore, per se. But I want to say to you, if you are not in personal revival, it's because you are not you are willing to live without it. If you're not in personal revival, it's because you're willing to live without it. And we are in revival. We're in a revival of salvations. And it may not look like it did 30 years ago, revival. And of course, we want all God has and more. But 9 adults have been born again in the last 5 weeks. I want to tell you, this past Sunday, a young man who was sitting over there raised his hand. He was wearing a red coat, a red jacket. He was a young man. I'd never seen him before that I could remember. And we dismissed the service with the prayer team, and he came forward. And the prayer team was packed ministering to people. And this young man locked eyes with me and walked up here on stage. And standing right here, I talked to him for about 10 minutes. His name's Jody. He's 22 years old. He had never accepted Jesus. And he had been here 4 times. His first time was last August. He said, today's my 4th time. He said, but I'm not a Christian. And I want to be. I led him in the sinner's prayer right there. We are having a revival of salvations. That's the greatest miracle ever. And so it's all in perspective and different packaging maybe. But I'm here to say this to you. You have been faithful. And I am grateful and thankful. And you should know you're the most special group, the most special church family that I know of to do all that we collectively have been able to do in 28 years. And I'm saying this, God is not finished with us. There's more to do. Thank you for continuing to be faithful. And I'm giving you one verse of Scripture. I'm going to pray this over you personally and over this church corporately. It's a verse of Scripture. Deuteronomy 1:11. May the Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times more numerous than you are, and bless you as He has promised you. Now just imagine, what if we were 1,000 times more numerous? It's 28 years and counting as a church, and we've been able to impact so much of the world. But what if the next generation coming in are 1,000 times more? And it's possible, an accountant could tell you, because of exponential dynamic. So it could be that 28 years from now, there would be 1,000 times more pastors and missionaries and church plants and salvations. And not that it would all be in these four walls, but we win two, they win two, and all of them win two more, and it keeps on going. That's why the next generation is so important. That's why the enemy wants to stop the next, because they will do exponentially more than we have been able to do. Father, thank you for the blessing of the Lord and the favor of God on this church every day and on every member, every friend of this church, every man and woman who's connected, who's related to this church. I ask you for 1,000 times more in their area of greatest need, 1,000 times more. I ask you that for the church here. I ask you for wisdom as we reach with intention to the succeeding generation. I just speak blessing over this special group of people from a pastor's heart, a pastor's blessing. May the Lord keep you and guard you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord cause His face to shine upon you. And may the Lord give you His peace. And in the area of your need, may the Lord bless you 1,000 times more in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being who you are, and we got to go, and the ushers are coming. We will give you a chance to give in an offering just before you leave. I'll tell you what, you've been sitting for a while, and I know you're comfortable, but stand if you can. Pull out from the tables. I do want to say, too, as you prepare to give, Pastor Steve and I are here. If you ever need us for anything, you know how to find us. And God love you, Pastor Steve, and all of you great people. Usher, serve the people if you would. I will mention this. Sunday morning, we're going to have a great time. Well, it's either I got to announce something or sing. No. Sunday morning, we are going to have a great time. And then 1 week from tonight, we're going to hear from some of you testimonies as to how God is moving in your life recently. We know some good things going on in some of you. So next Wednesday night, we'll hear body testimonies, God's goodness to some of us, to all of us, in fact. Do I hear anybody else wanting to make an announcement? Pastor Steve, did I forget anything? Okay. Good to go? Great. Thank you for being here and for staying a little longer than usual. I didn't think it would take this long, but I have shared my heart with a faithful and fruitful church family. God